Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. Purport and translation by Srila Prabhupada. The narration of Dhruva Maharaj is sublime knowledge for the attainment of immortality. Persons unaware of the absolute truth can be led to the path of truth. Those who out of transcendental kindness take on the responsibility of becoming master protectors of the poor living entities automatically gain the interest and blessings of the demigods. Purport. Gyanam Agyata means knowledge which is unknown almost throughout the entire world. No one knows actually what is the absolute truth. Materialists are very proud of their advancement and education, philosophical speculation, and scientific knowledge. But no one actually knows what the absolute truth is. The great sage Maitreya, however, recommends that to enlighten people about the absolute truth, tattva, devotees should preach the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the entire world. Srila Vyasadeva especially compiled this great literature of scientific knowledge because people are completely unaware of the absolute truth. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, it is said that Vyasadeva, the learned sage, compiled this great Bhagavat Puran just to stop the ignorance of the mass of people, because people do not know the absolute truth. This Srimad Bhagavatam was specifically compiled by Vyasadeva under the instruction of Narad. Generally, even though people are interested in understanding the truth, they take to speculation and reach, at most, the conception of impersonal Brahman. But very few men actually know the personality of Godhead. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically meant to enlighten people about the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. Although there is no fundamental difference between the impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Person, factual immortality cannot be obtained unless and until one attains the stage of associating with the Supreme Person. Devotional service which leads to the association of the Supreme Lord is actual immortality. Pure devotees, out of compassion for the fallen souls, are kripalu, very kind to the people in general. And as such, they distribute this Bhagavat knowledge all over the world. A kind-hearted devotee is called Dinanath, protector of the poor, ignorant mass of people. Lord Krishna is also known as Dinanath or Dinabandhu, the master, actual friend of the poor living entities. And his pure devotee also takes the same position of Dinanath. The Dinanaths or devotees of Lord Krishna, who preach the path of devotional service, become the favorites of the demigods. Generally, people are interested in worshipping the demigods, especially Lord Shiva, in order to obtain material benefits. But a pure devotee who engages in preaching the principles of devotional service as prescribed in the Srimad Bhagavatam does not need to separately worship the demigods. Why? Because the demigods are automatically pleased with him and offer all the blessings within their capacity. By watering the root of a tree, the leaves and branches are automatically watered. So by executing devotional service to the Lord, the branches, twigs, and leaves of the Lord, known as the demigods, are automatically pleased with the devotee and they offer all benedictions. Gyanam agyata tattvaya yodadyat satpate mritam kripa lor dinanathasya devas tasyana grinate. The narration of Dhruva Maharaj is sublime knowledge for the attainment of immortality. Persons unaware of the absolute truth can be led to the path of truth. Those who are out of transcendental kindness take on the responsibility of becoming master protectors of the poor living entities, automatically gain the interest and blessing of the demigods. Om Anganatam Randasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Maitreya Muni is further elaborating on the Prabhava of Dhruva Charitra. He's mentioning two effects in this verse of hearing this wonderful narration of Dhruva Maharaj Charitra. And then Prabhupada's purport, he gives 3 points. He describes about the absolute truth, knowledge of Krishna, consciousness, and he talks about the devotee, the preacher devotee. These are 2 main points, the absolute truth and the distributor of the absolute truth. That's in the purport. Dhruva Maharaj's story, if one is unaware of the absolute truth, if he isn't actually, he's ignorant, as the verse says, agyata. He's agyata tattva. He has no knowledge, agyan. He has no knowledge of the actual tattva. Bhagavan tattva, atma tattva, jiva tattva, kala tattva, prakriti tattva, ishvara tattva. These tattvas he doesn't know. He's not aware of Bhagavad Gita. He's not aware of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have the pancha tattva of the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone knows the pancha tattva of the Bhagavad Gita? You've heard the pancha tattva in Mayapur. The pancha tattva of the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara tattva, jiva tattva, kala tattva, prakriti tattva, karma tattva. These are the 5 subject matters of the... These are the 5 truths or subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita, the pancha tattva. Interesting. So they don't know. They're agyata tattva. They don't know these tattvas. They think, I am the body. And they subject themselves to jada vidya. Jada vidya means yantra vidya. Yantra vidya, jada vidya. They pride themselves. I'm very educated. I have a PhD in computer technology. I have a PhD in economics. I have a PhD in biology, microbiology, genetic engineering, IIT, Bits Pilani or whatever. I have a PhD in organic chemistry and quantum mechanics, Bodh Vidvan and Bodh Dhamma, Bodh Hankar, pride. But all that knowledge, all that so-called knowledge of BS and MS and PhD, it all adds up to 0, 0, 0, Z, Z, Z. And it only takes you to dead, dead, dead. Because there's no paravidya. There's no atma tattva gyan. Paravidya, there's jadavidya, which is knowledge of dead things, dead matter, jadavidya. But this is paravidya. Paravidya means transcendental knowledge. So this knowledge is not available in the technical institutions and in the universities and colleges anywhere in the world. That's why Prabhupada told Bhakti Swarup Damodar he should establish a Bhagavad college. A Bhagavad college, not a technical college or technical school or technical university, which is everywhere. But establish a Bhagavad college to disseminate real knowledge. Transcendental knowledge which will give one perfection. So the first boon or benediction of hearing Dhruva Maharaj Charitra, Maitreya Muni's offering, he's saying if one is a gyata tattva, he can get knowledge. One is in ignorance, if he receives Bhagavad Gyan, knowledge of the personality of God, it especially delineated in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he will become a tattva gyani. He will know things as they are. Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of himself. He will benefit himself. He'll become peaceful, happy, joyful, hopeful, and attain the perfection of life. Besides, in addition to material prosperity, material promotion, well-being, health, satisfaction, that will all come automatically by acquiring transcendental knowledge. But the most significant contribution of transcendental knowledge is to grant one freedom from the cycle of birth and death. Once and for all, punarjanma na vidyate, there will be no further birth for one who is a master of this technology. This is real technology, the science of conquering death. The science of conquering death. This is the real ultimate technology. If our knowledge brings us to this vigyan, tattva vigyan, this realization, this perfection, then we're accomplished. We are accomplished scholars. We are professors of the spiritual science. We become siddhas. This is the real culmination of knowledge. Vedaischa saviraham eva vidyo vedanta kridveda vedeva chaham. Krishna says, aham Vedanta, I am the Vedanta. The Vedanta is personal. But where is that knowledge taught? Even if they have, as Prabhupada says in the purport, even if they have some vague idea of Vedanta, it's Advaitin Gyan. Advaitin Gyan, it's Brahma Gyan. They're not understanding the Parabrahman Gyan or the Bhagavan Gyan, Bhagavat Tattva. They don't know. Even if they're fortunate enough to pursue the path, Krishna tells in Gita the rarity of understanding the personality of Godhead, the rarity of understanding personal Vedanta, aesthetic Vedanta, Vedanta with the heart, Vedanta with the body, Vedanta with an abode and a lila and associates and relationships, rasa and bhava and prem, that Vedanta, aesthetic Vedanta. Krishna says it's very rare. Munushanam sahasreshu kaschit yatadisidaye. Yatatam api siranam kaschim vembati tatvata. The word is there, tatvata. Agyata tatvata. Krishna says they don't know the Bhagavad tatvata. So this is the first blessing Maitreya Muni is saying. Yes, hear the Bhagavatam. You fools, you mukas, murkas, fools, adamas, lowest among men, foolishly educated, wrongly educated. And if you hear this, he says, if you're unaware of the absolute truth, if you hear this, you'll become satpatat, satpat. If you hear Bhagavad Shravan, then you'll be on the satpat, the path of eternity. And that's just by hearing it, you'll be pointed in the right direction. You'll get your bearings, you'll get your focus, you'll get your charts in order. And then he says, and if someone, then the second thing he says, those are unaware, then he says if someone is aware of the absolute truth, and he's actually a devotee, and he's engaging in preaching, then what happens to him? According to the verse, he says, devas tas deva anugraha. That if he knows the absolute truth, one thing, he's in ignorance, and he gets the Bhagavad Gyan, he gets the Bhagavatam, this paravidya, then he becomes aware of the absolute truth and starts moving in the right direction. Back home, back to Godhead, to move closer to the association of the personal Vedanta. And if he knows it and he's engaged in udar work, distributing it, then does he have to worry about his maintenance? Does he have to worry about his protection? Does he have to worry about his security? Does he have to seek the favor of 33 crore demigods? Does he have to waste time in pujas and yagyas and homas and running up the mountain to see Vaishnav Devi? Not necessary. He simply goes around Govardhan. No elevation, zero elevation. Just walk. You don't have to go like this, you go like this. It's easier to walk in a straight line than it is to walk like this. Try walking like this, it's very difficult. But going like this is very easy. Natural path. Bhakti is a natural path. We usually walk like this, we don't usually walk in the sky. But to see Vaishnav Devi, you have to walk in the sky. We're not birds. So this is a natural, easy path. So if one is engaged in the compassion of the Kripalu Kam, or the compassionate work of preaching, distributing Bhagavad Gyan, then the demigods shower their mercy on him. Deva Anugraha. Right there. Maitreya Muni is telling you, it's guaranteed. It's the Rishi's guarantee. Guaranteed by the Rishis. tried and tested, proven in the laboratories of the annals of Vedic history. So this is a great, we don't have any separate endeavor required. So the first point, so Prabhupada's taking this point, he's saying satpatam amritam. So those that don't have the knowledge, they'll come to the satpat. They'll become aware of the path of perfection. And those that are distributing the knowledge, because they're actually realizing that in Bhagavad Gyan, Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan. There's Bhagavat Tattva or Bhagavat Tattva Gyan, knowing, having an awareness of the goal of life, moving in that direction. But those accomplished or advanced devotees, the Madhyamadhikaris, who are actually firmly situated in Nishta, on the Satpat, on the Bhagavat Pat. The Bhagavat Pat is a Satpat. It's the eternal path. The natural path, the eternal path. And they're distributing it. They're able to distribute it, the Bhagavat Tattva, because they're relishing Satpat Amritam. See the verse. Satpat Amritam. There's two aspects. One thing is be on the path. One thing is to plant the mango trees and cultivate a mango grove. Another thing is to come in and eat the mangoes. Right? So one is Satpat is establishing a mango grove, getting on the right path. And the Satpat Amritam, that part is for the preachers. They get the nectar. What nectar do they get? They get sustained. Krishna says in Gita, Saha Yagya Praja Shishtva Puravacha. He says that in his third chapter, he's saying, I created this world, but I didn't leave it empty. I didn't wind up the clock, as the Christians, sometimes people say, oh, God put the creation into motion, then he went to sleep. He wound up the clock. He wound up the clock of creation. He put it on the desk and then he went to sleep. He doesn't know what the hell is going on down here. There's all kinds of chaos and discord and disharmony. And he's too busy sleeping somewhere or playing a harp up in heaven. Dwang, dwang, dwang. No, he created the entire world and then he entered the world as Paramatma and every living entity and every atom. And then he provided a means, yajna, for everyone to live happily by yajna, sacrifice. He said, be thou happy. The men and demigods can be happy by the performance of sacrifice. You'll get everything material you need and you'll get liberation depending on the quality of your sacrifice. There are different kinds of sacrifice. There's transcendental sacrifice and there's material sacrifice. So he's saying, if you perform one type of sacrifice, you get everything material that you need. If you perform the highest type of sacrifice, you get liberated. And ultimately you taste the amritam. Material sukh gives swarga sukh. Swarga sukh is type of amrit, somaras. But transcendental sacrifice, transcendental yajna gives the nectar of immortality, of the eternal association and service of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. This is the fullest experience of amritam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give purnamritam swaranam, pratipadam. Pratipadam purnamritam swaranam. Pratipadam. Step after step. Drinking, gulping, absorbing nectar. The nectar of pure devotional service. The nectar of engaging in eternal loving service of Radha and Krishna, the Kunjas of Vrindavan. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bihari, Biharani and Bihari. Kunja Bihari. So this knowledge is not available. So Prabhupada, half the purport he's describing that everyone's in ignorance. We must distribute this Bhagavat Tattva, this Bhagavat Gyan. If anyone wants to actually know, he says, what is the purpose of this Bhagavatam? He says, people don't know the absolute truth. If they really want to understand the absolute truth, they must get the Srimad Bhagavatam to get enlightened. So this is the purpose of preaching that Srimad Bhagavatam is to enlighten people about the absolute truth, the Paratattva, Paravidya. This is the purpose of Bhagavatam. It's told in one purport, Prabhupada says, if one is actually hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because we were discussing about Saptaha and this idea yesterday, If one is actually hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, then a couple things happen. First thing is that one loses his desire for material sense gratification. About two verses ago, it said that the care and attention, prayata, that one should hear the Dhruva Maharaj Charitra with care and attention, or rapt attention. So when one hears like that, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first thing that happens is he loses his desire for sense gratification. Becomes attracted to God, deeply interested in the paramart, not the art of material acquisition, dharmart ka moksha. Not that art, but paramart, transcendental value, transcendental wealth, transcendental attainment. He becomes genuinely interested in Krishna Prema Prapti, attaining Krishna Prema. That's the first result of hearing the Bhagavatam. The second result is that one enlists himself, he begins to practice the path of Bhakti Yoga. And he begins Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya because he has faith, he believes in the Bhagavatam, Shastriya Shraddha. So he's sitting to hear the Bhagavat Pad, Shravana Dasha. And when you're hearing the Bhagavat Pad, what's happening? Sadhu Sangha. You're associating with sadhus. And if they are realized tattva gyanis themselves, gyaninas tattva darshana. Gyaninas tattva darshana. If they're true gyanis of the absolute truth, then they're having darshan of the absolute truth. What if darshan means philosophy? Darshan means to see. The purpose of philosophy is to see God. So darshan, dur darshan, sakshat darshan. Philosophy, philosophical understanding of the absolute truth is dur darshan. And attaining prema is sakshat darshan. Principle is the same. Darshan, darshan, darshan. So the Ganinas Taptadarshi, the Taptadarshi, he's seeing, he can show you what he's seeing. He can reveal what he's feeling. He can convey to you what he's contacting and touching. So when you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from such an advanced devotee, then you're actually receiving Sadhu Sangha. Because Sadhu Sangha, he infects the heart, or he implants in the heart the desire for perfection. That's the perfection. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Hoy, Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Siddhi Hoy is the desire to attain love of God. This is the perfectional gift of the Vedanta. Vedanta leads to this. Vedanta means this. In Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami is explaining about Ladini Shakti. Because Ladini Shakti is one of the components of bhakti. Bhakti, we say Bhakti Devi, but bhakti as a shakti is a mixture of samvit, knowledge, paravidya, Bhagavan Tattva, samvit. And samvit shakti and ladini shakti. The bliss potency, the power to love God, receive God's love and offer that love back to God. We say Krishna Prem Prapti. Yes, you acquire Krishna Prem by the mercy of God and His devotees. Prem dances in the heart, expands the heart, softens the heart, and then when the heart is soft, when the heart is softened and expanded and full of bhavas, then that heart is offered back. You receive the, you acquire the prem, and then you offer the prem. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachati. One who offers me devotion, leaf, flower, water, anything, but the offering is devotion. Krishna gives his love, we return it. So this is the meaning of the Bhagavatam means this. It leads us to this level. And Prabhupada is saying that the world is starving for lack of this. People are actually, this is the missing element, as Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati said, there's enough of everything. There's enough of everything in the material world, but there's a deficiency and a supreme dearth of prema, Krishna prema. So this is the first area, the purport, which Prabhupada is addressing this first line, jnana agyata tatvaya yodadyat satpate mritam because he's simply commenting on Maitreya Muni's benediction. You are agyata? You have no knowledge of the Bhagavan Tattva? Well, if you hear Dhruva Charitra, then you will get true knowledge of the absolute truth. So then Prabhupada is explaining that line, those lines. You'll hear Dhruva Charitra, then you'll become interested in Satpat, the path of perfection. Satpat. Satpate. Satpate Mritam. First you have to be in line. The nectar is being distributed. But you have to be in the line. Pat means the line. You get in the line. Someone's distributing nectar. Mohini Murti was distributing nectar. So there was two lines. Indian system. They didn't have tables and chairs. Modern way we distribute nectar, we sit at tables and chairs. Right? But Mohini Murti, when the demigods and demons and then when they're receiving nectar, prasad from Mohini, they're sitting in lines, Vedic style. Right? There's no smorgasbord, no what do you call it, a la carte, you go with a tray and you go like this. They're sitting in lines. They're all lined, the idea is they're lined up to get the nectar from Mohini. So the nectar is being distributed by Mohini, so you have to get in line. So Mahabhu is distributing Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's distributing the nectar, so we have to get in the line. The line is called Dhara, Rupanuga Dhara. Dhara means the line, Dhara means the current, the line, the flow of devotion, which is coming from the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, Krishna Prema Pradayate. So to hear the Dhruva Charitra means to get in the line. And then when we realize the teachings, surrender to the teachings, master the teachings, and become surrendered souls, then the nectar is given to us. Satpate Amritam. Satpat is the line of the Bhagavat. And that line, the end of that line is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving the prema. Premamritam. Premamritam. So this is the point here that he's saying that this is the Bhagavatam. Now the next line is, now we talk, that was talking about the absolute truth, the Srimad Bhagavatam as the epitome and personification of the absolute truth, the complete presentation of Godhead. Now the second half of the verse is talking about those distributors of this knowledge. And what do they get? They get all the blessings of the demigods. What to speak about prema and perfection? Even the demigods are working on their behalf, without separate endeavor, without yajna, puja, homa, having pictures all over their living room and pictures all over their altar. They don't need it. They don't need to have Lakshmi and Durga and Saraswati, and then that's one poster, another side there's a poster of Shiva and Durga and Ganesh, and there's another poster of Shiva and just Shiva, and then there, this, that, and whomever. It's not required, because these people are actual bhaktas. One of the symptoms of bhakti is that one is aware of Krishna. When one is aware of Krishna, then he's also understanding that Krishna is everywhere. When one is aware of Krishna, then he understands that Krishna is everywhere. So therefore, we have no fear. Abhay. We're not afraid that if I don't put a poster of the demigods on my altar, or I don't put a picture of the demigods on my altar, that I will get stricken by a thunderbolt. We have regard, we have respect, we'll visit a temple of Shiva, we may even do puja there. Sanatana Goswami is worshipping Shiva, Gopeshwar and Chakaleshwar. Because that's the etiquette. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the ideal etiquette, achar. He visited the temples of the demigods, especially Shiva. He made it a point to. And he paid respects. And he honored the Bajari, and he honored the Takurji, and he offered prayers. But he didn't. If you go to his home in Mayapur, his ancestral home, you don't find pictures of demigods all over the place. You don't find little murtis of Shiva and Ganesh. Not big, but small, something. Now I'm a devotee now, so I used to have a big murti of Ganesh. Now I have a little one. I hide it behind a picture of my guru. So when my guru comes, I put Ganesh behind the picture. Then when he doesn't think I'm a demigod worshipper. Then when he leaves, I bring it out. Oh, Ganapati, Dhanabad. So Mahaprabhu is not like this. So there's a difference between worshipping and fearing and respecting. Devotees very eager to visit a temple of any demigod or deva because they're all Krishna's servants. They're all devotees, Vaishnavas. So the devotee, he's talking about the devotees now. They're Kripalu, Dinanath. So then Prabhupada describes the whole purpose is all about that. This is the Bhagavata, the Mahabhagavat. The devotee is Kripalu. He's very compassionate. He's merciful. He sees that people are suffering. The meaning of Kripalu, Kripalu means that you cannot tolerate the sufferings of others. When you see how everyone is suffering, everyone, rich, poor, beautiful, ugly, everyone is suffering. Why are they suffering? Because of ignorance. They have so much yantra vidya, so much jada vidya, but they don't have a drop of para vidya. They have so much tattva, so much scientific knowledge, technology, but they don't have one iota of knowledge about Bhagavat tattva. Bhagavat tattva, the real truth, the essential truth. If you're in a desert dying of thirst, what good will your PhD in chemistry do? It's not very essential. You're in the desert. There's no water. You've been there for days. You crashed in your airplane and parachuted in the desert. You're landing there. And you say, oh, Bhagavan, I know. I have PhD in chemistry. That's nice. Now what? Without water, you're nowhere. You're finished. Your knowledge will simply be a burden on your head. Will the crows and vultures, will they show special respect for you because when you die in the desert, you have a PhD in chemistry? No, they will peck out your eyes and they will eat your entrails and have a grand feast there. So what is essential in the desert to survive is water, pani. Right? Pani, jal jivan. Pani is life. So what's essential for the living entity is knowledge of God. And this is we need to have Krishna to satisfy our Trishna. Trishna means thirst, Trishna. Everyone's thirsty. So the devotees, they are compassionate, they can't tolerate the pain of others when they see it, and this it stirs their heart, it moves their heart to act. And then they go forward and they preach and distribute Krishna consciousness, Bhagavat Tattva, through books, through writing, through preaching, through pandals, through lectures, through Rath Yatra. Somehow or other distribute knowledge and contact with the Absolute Truth. So then, as Krishna's Dinanath and Krishna's Dinabandhu, Prabhupada is saying that Maitreya Muni is using this word to describe the servants of Dinanath, Dinanath Das, Dinabandhu Das. We have our Dinabandhu Das. He's a servant of the friend of the poor. So he's also a friend of the poor. And he's a servant. He's a servant. We are devotees are servants of the Lord of the poor, the Lord of the fallen, the Dinanath. So we're also Dinanath. We're working on behalf of the Lord. We befriend all the living entities. Tatikshva Karunika, Suridam Savadehinam. Suridam Savadehinam. The devotee is a friend of all. A friend of all, an enemy to none. Because we're friendly to everyone because we're introducing everyone to their ultimate friend. We're introducing everyone to the most kind and beneficial, loving friend, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Dinabandhu Jagatpate. And when they establish that friendship, they have all these websites and things on telephone. Make friends, friends.com, which just means illicitsex.com. Friends.com, looking for a friend, feeling lonely, looking for a friend. It's a long, cold winter night. You need a little partnership, if you know what I mean. Everyone's looking for something cozy, comfortable, friendship, warmth, intimacy, exchange, appreciation, gratitude. Only Bhagavan Sri Krishna can fit the bill. Only He can give all this to everyone, the friend of everyone. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. So devotees are so compassionate. They're so Kripalu and Dinabandhu. They're the real friends because they're saying, hey, listen, wake up, Jeev Jago. You've established friendship with the devil. You've established friendship with death. Your friend is simply killing you and kill you life after life. That's not a very good friend. Your mother, your father, your wife, your husband, they're all representatives of death, samsara. You say they're your friends? They're binding you to this material world. They're killing you life after life. And you say, my mother loves me. My father loves me. He feeds me. He gave me clothes. He educated me. Great. Did he ever say anything about God? No, he doesn't believe in God. He's an atheist, Pashandi. So he's a killer of the soul, Atmaha. Atmaha Mata. Atmaha Pita. Does that make sense? The Pita is a killer of the soul. Atmaha. Oh mother, you're such a nice Mata. You're Atmaha Mata. You're killing my soul. Just like the story Prabhupada tells of the criminal. You know the story of the criminal? There was one criminal who became a thief and a dacoit. And because his mother was very tolerant, she was a New Age mother. New Age mother says, kids, do whatever feels good, kids, do it. You want to be non-veg? You should have the freedom to eat meat and experience meat and be non-veg. I'm a vegetarian, but I don't want to limit you. If you want, your friends are saying, you go ahead, you've experienced the world, you do whatever you want. Open end, you have an open ticket, carte blanche. I'm here, but I give you full freedom. I feel that my mother was too repressive to me. My father had arranged marriage and we couldn't go anywhere. But kids, you should go out all night, go out all day, pajama parties, co-ed pajama parties. Have a good time. Just enjoy life. That's the modern day ethics. So-called ethics. Asura ethics. Demoniac viewpoints. So, this person had a mother like that. He was born in Bombay. Mumbai, and his mother was like liberal, very ultra liberal, allowing him to do anything because she loved him, and this was an expression of her love. Do any damn thing you want. I love you. I won't guide you. I won't correct you. I won't try to mold your behavior. I won't try to train you in any way because that's like limiting your freedom. You want to be a demon? Be a demon. So this kid. As a child, he grew up and became a first-class idiot. Became a first-class daco, demon, dacoit. So he got arrested, and he was sentenced to die. He was going to be hung. He was going to be murdered at sunset. And that jailer, he said, is there any last request you have? He said, yes, I would like to meet my mother. Before I die, before I'm executed, I want to meet my mother. Oh, certainly. So they brought his mother, and he was in a prison, in a bars, behind the bars, steel bars like this. So his mother came, and she was crying and weeping. Oh, maybe. And so the son was very, very sober. But he wasn't crying. He was very, very sober. And he said, Mother, please come here. I want to tell you some secret. I want to share one secret. I want to share one secret with you. So I don't want anyone to hear. Please, will you put your ear, because I want to whisper in your ear, so put your ear to the bars of the cage, the bars of the prison bars, or the prison cell. Like, you know, we have our cell phones, so there's also a prison cell. The cell phone is another type of prison cell. The cell phone, you put the cell phone in your pocket, now you're in prison, because you are a servant. Nokia Das, Anodas, Anodas. Right? Or Sony, Ericsson, Das and Odas and Odas. Motorola, Das and Odas and Odas. I think I covered most of them. Reliance, Das and Odas and Odas. So you're in the cell, and when you're in the cell, you have to serve the jailer. You have to serve the master. He says jump, you jump. He says you sit, you sit. So the phone says jump, and you jump. Phone says sit, and you sit. Whatever the cell phone tells you do, because you're in the cell, the prison cell. Bound, hand and foot, 24 hours a day. You put it under your pillow. It's such a good friend, you sleep with your Nokia. You tell your wife to go in the other room. Wife, you sleep in the other room. I'm sleeping with my Nokia tonight. Ding, ding, ding. Oh,
hi, Bo.
It's 1 o'clock. Yeah, but, you know, I'm on 24 hours call. Yeah, 24 hour service. Chobi's gone to save a Nokia Das and a Das and a Das. So he said, Mother, I want to tell you one secret. So his mother said, yes, yes, son, please. So she put her ear like this. And then his son, he came very close to her ear. And he opened his mouth to tell the secret. Then he bit off her ear. Ow! He chopped off his ear. He held onto his ear. Went, and he bit off. He ripped his mother's ear off her head. He chewed it off. Ah! She's screaming. Can you imagine somebody bites your ear off? You won't just say, okay, bite the other one. Yeah, but he's screaming in bloody murder, as they say. So then the jailer comes out, and the mother, ah, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? And the jailer comes, what'd you do? What'd you do? Do you know why I did that? Because my mother never pulled my ear and gave me the right knowledge. She never gave me Bhagavat Tattva Gyan. So therefore, I'm in the can. Can means the prison house. It's American slang. In the can means, it's slang, American slang means you're in prison. It's street talk. Hey, where's so-and-so? He's in the can. At any rate, without the gan, you end up in the can. It means trash can, dustbin. So the devotees, they're very kind. So we, because demigods, they bless the devotees. Everyone, this is the final point Prabhupada makes, and we'll conclude here. That everyone is mad after gaining the favor. Everyone wants Deva Anugraha. Everyone, see, Deva Anugraha means the favor, the blessings of the demigods, the devas. Shiva Anugraha, Surya Anugraha, Durga Anugraha. But the demigods are pleased by sacrifice. So everyone does yajna, swaha, swaha. They do yajna because demigods are pleased. But the devotees, because the demigods are also bhaktas, they're also devotees of Vishnu. They're very exalted Vishnu bhaktas. So when someone becomes a bhakta, they become happy. At least on one level, there's also another level. But some they become happy, this is what Prabhupada's saying, because devotees are engaged in the ultimate sacrifice. We don't call the Brahmins into our house and do a Shanti Homa once a year. We don't do Satyanarayan Puja on Saturday. We don't do different Deva Pujas and go to Ganapati's temple on Tuesday and hire some Brahmin to do a big Ganapati Yajna or whatever. The devotees are doing Yajna 24 hours a day. So the demigods are so pleased because they're pleased with sacrifice, they're pleased with Yajna, and the Vaishnavas, the true pure devotees of the Lord, the Dinanath Dasas and Dinabandha Dasas, they are pleasing the demigods every day. Because they're engaged in yajna. Yajna Sankirtana Prayarya Jantihi Sumedashaha. We're always engaged in the Sankirtan Yajna, and this is the most satisfying, pleasing yajna. The pure devotees are preaching Krishna consciousness around the world, and that's actually creating a paradigm shift. The preaching of the devotees of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavat Tattva Gyan, is creating a paradigm shift in the material world, turning everybody towards godliness, towards God. And therefore, when that happens, the demigods become benefited. They become greatly benefited when people become godly because they also become aware of the parts and parcels of God known as the demigods. So that we don't worship separately. We don't need to worship. We're already pleasing. Why do people do yajna? They do yajna and puja to get anugraha, the mercy of demigods. They want to please and satisfy Shiva and Durga and Ganapati. And then when they please him and satisfy him by yajna, by sacrifice, they ask for a donation. Dhanam dehi, janam dehi, this and that. But the demigods, they themselves are pleased by the life of a devotee. Because the life of a devotee is a life of sacrifice. The life of a devotee is a life of yajna. So we don't have to ask for anything. They give it without asking. They shower their blessings. Whatever we need, they give us. The demigods adjust the weather for us. Externally, the demigods are helping devotees by adjusting the environment. If we need rain, it rains on our farm, but it doesn't rain on the demon's farm. We can write long lists of how the devatas are helping devotees by manipulating the environment. in a favorable way. That's externally. Now, the demigods are also helping our body environment, because the demigods are residing in each one of our senses. The demigods are residing in our senses in different parts of our body. So that we don't have to worship the demigods to get the favor of Agni. So devotees, their brains work nicely, their senses work nicely, because they're using them in sacrifice. And when we perform yajna, Krishna yajna, the demigods get the result. They become prosperous. They become happy. So we are satisfying the demigods. Devotees are satisfying the demigods, the Bhagavatas. So therefore the demigods worship the devotees to get their mercy. And how they worship? By helping us and giving us boons and benedictions and facilitating arrangements. And any devotee experiences this. So we are the natural recipients, we are the natural heirs to Deva Anugraha, the mercy and compassion and kindness and gifts of the demigods, because we are devoted to their Lord. The Prime Minister is Krishna. And the Minister of Electricity, the Minister of Finances, Kubera, all the different ministers are working for the Prime Minister. And we come along and say, yes, I'm also working. So then they bless us. So in this way, we distribute the Absolute Truth for the benefit of everyone. And by engaging in preaching work and distributing Krishna consciousness, we realize Krishna. We walk safely and quickly on the Satpat, Bhagavatpat, the path of devotion. We eventually come to the pot of nectar, Premamritam. We enter the spiritual world to live eternally in the service of Krishna, in His intimate association. And that is the position of immortality. Prabhupada says only bhakti, and only bhakti gives immortality. Any other position is temporary. So bhakti, we are going on the path of eternity, satpat. And it's a nectarian path. It's a path, the nectarian path of eternity. The nectar-filled path of eternity. Satpat amritam. This is the path of Bhagavatpat. And we are worshippers of the Bhagavatam. This is our pramanam, right? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions or comments? I see many devotees came with a notebook to take notes. So I'm happy. There's prem is only in Vaikuntha. They have affection. Actually, frankly speaking, if any devata worshipper worships correctly, according to Shastra Nisheda, Shastra Vidhi, Vidhi Nisheda, if he worships correctly, he will also get Deva Anugraha. And the proof that devata worship or Devi worshipper has received the genuine Deva Anugraha is that they will come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and surrender to Krishna. So we say, very well and good, it's very nice. We will not disturb your faith. Krishna says, do not disturb the faith. Because worshiping the demigods, if you're worshiping my finger, that means you're not worshiping me. You're bathing my finger and you're offering puja, you're doing homas to my finger and Sri Pinky Swaha, Sri Pinky Swaha. This is Pinky. It's called Pinky, Chota Angali. Sri Pinky Swaha, and you do yajna and puja. So that means you're not worshiping me? So the demigods are the pinky, the fingers, the parts and parcels of Krishna. So if you're doing devata puja, you're indirectly, or even actually directly, if you understand it, you're worshiping Krishna. So I say, you are very nice worshiping my pinky. Come over here. Let me tell you something. There's more to me than my pinky. I have a whole body. Sri Banga Lalitam. Sham Sundar. Sundaram. Sarupam. Shivaram, Sundaram. Demigod worship, it's wonderful. We have no problem. Just do it right. Do it right and you'll get the real benefit. Shiva's crying when his worshippers worship. Shiva's actually crying. Do you know that? He's crying for his bhaktas. Why aren't they asking for the right thing? I'm a worshipper of Radha. I'm a worshipper of Krishna. And everyone's at Janam Day, why? Why are they asking me? They want money and power and wealth and position and political post. Why? I want to give them Radha. Radha Dehi, Radha Prem Seva Dehi, Krishna Prem Seva Dehi. Why don't they ask for this? Because I'll give it. So Shiva's crying. Everyone's worshiping me, but for the wrong thing. They don't know my real wealth. They don't know my real treasure. The gopis also worship Shiva to get Prem Sangha, Prem Seva Gopinath. And he gave it. He arranged. Sanat Goswami, the Goswamis worship Shiva, Vishnu Chakravarti. For the right thing. They worship his heart. The heart of Shiva is Radha and Krishna. But everyone's satisfied with his fingernails. Everyone's satisfied with Shiva. So he gives a fingernail. Here, don't take my fingernail. Oh, thank you, Shiva. That's all I wanted. I became chief minister. So he cried, why, you stupid? This paltry benefit? I can give you the spiritual world. I can give you Goloka. I can give you the Prem Seva of Radha and Krishna. You stupid fool. Confirm. Shankara Bhagavan ki. Sri Radha Krishna Bhagavan ki. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki.